This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Power of Attorney, an educational program focusing on legal developments affecting businesses and individuals. And now your hosts, the attorneys from Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman.
Good morning. I'm Don Goldrosen, and welcome to Power of Attorney, a 30-minute educational program focusing on legal developments affecting individuals and businesses. Power of Attorney is sponsored by the full-service law firm of Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, located in Reston, Virginia, servicing clients throughout the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area and across the country. To learn more about Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, you can visit us on the web at ofplaw.com, or you can contact us by phone at 703-218-2100. I'm the head of the real estate practice group at Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, and I have been practicing in the areas of commercial and residential real estate law for approximately 30 years. My guest today is Wendy Feldman Block. Wendy is managing director at the international real estate firm of Studley. Our topic today is strategic planning for your company's real estate needs. Wendy, why don't you, first of all, welcome to the program, and why don't you start out by giving us a little background on the services that Studley provides and also the services you provide to your clients.
Thank you, Don. I'm happy to be here with you today. Studley, as you mentioned, is a commercial real estate firm. We specialize in representing the needs of tenants exclusively, which is a little bit different from a lot of our peers. We have a conflict-free model with 60 offices worldwide, and we develop creative solutions which put tenants in control of their real estate so that they can make it work for them. I am fortunate to have been at Studley for over 25 years in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area, and have a lot of experience working with law firms such as Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman, as well as many nonprofit organizations and corporations.
Yeah, Wendy, I think it's good for our audience to know why you and I are sitting here this morning. Wendy and her team at Studley have a long history with our law firm at Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman in analyzing and working with us through our various space needs as those have evolved over time. And in fact, the framework for our discussion this morning is very real world and practical. Wendy and I worked together. I was the head of our firm's space planning committee, and Wendy was the head of the team at Studley that worked with us in analyzing our space needs and our options out in the marketplace, the result of which is our firm's move last August to a wonderful new space in Reston that we get daily compliments on from our clients and from our attorneys at the firm. So as we talk through some of the issues that are going to be important to you in planning your space needs for your company during the course of the show, we're going to throw in some anecdotes from our experiences working together in terms of our decision making process and the way Wendy and her team helped us through the process. I think the initial question that oftentimes that certainly we asked as we were starting out the process was, why is this process important to your business? And one of the things that is important to understand, particularly given the nature of the economy here in the Washington, D.C. area, we don't make a lot of things. We provide a lot of services. Is that for most businesses, your cost of doing business in terms of your space needs and renting your space is probably your second most expensive proposition after your personnel costs. So it's a big ticket item from a standpoint of your balance sheet and your income statement. Secondly, these are typically long-term relationships, oftentimes 5 to 10 year relationships. So a wrong decision from a strategic standpoint can have potential long-term negative impacts on your business. So really what we're talking about this morning is to kind of walk you through the process to provide a framework to give your company the best opportunity to maximize a good decision in terms of filling your space needs. The first question, that we certainly asked when we start our process, Wendy, was, when is it the appropriate time to start your process in terms of evaluating your needs and looking at potential options in the marketplace?
Well, Don, there's never a bad time to start. The tenants that we advise are really on top of what their situation is. We at Studley will perform an abstract, which is basically a high-level summary of the basic business terms in one's lease. And we think it's really important for tenants to really be familiar with that. There's the obvious things such as knowing how much space you lease, how much rent you're paying, and when your lease expires. But there are other really important considerations such as what rights do you have to expand? What rights do you have, if possible, to contract, to terminate, to sublease? And what rights do you have to renew? And I think that's one of the big things that we're going to be talking about today. And we will use Odin Feldman and Pittleman's experience as sort of a great example of how we did that, because I think it gives it nice context. Tenants should always know what their renewal rights are, but we rarely want to have to exercise those rights. We want the tenant to be informed, to have started the process early enough so that they can have evaluated their existing situation in relation to the marketplace, so that when they have to give notice that of that date, for example, most leases typically require about 12 months notice before you can renew. But if for a larger tenant, that could even be 24 months. So working backwards, you have to have gone through your process to have evaluated all of that. And we'll walk through those steps shortly so that you know that before the date.
There's really two points that I think we should emphasize from what you just said. One is because of the lead time that you're talking about, this really needs to be a part of your company's strategic planning, correct?
Correct.
This is not something you can do on an ad hoc basis. You really need to be ahead of the curve on this issue. The second point, which I think is important, is your comment about renewal options.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a normal impulse. I think, people tend to look at a move to a new office location as being time-consuming, expensive, potentially divisive, and very distracting. And from our experience, it is all of the above.
Yeah.
But that being said, I think it's important to understand that your renewal option should be utilized as a negotiating tool. And just because you have a renewal option is really not the end of the story.
It's
That's
actually
really the beginning of the story.
It absolutely is, Don, and it's an insurance policy. And we want that tenant to have the right, looking at what does the current commercial real estate market in the D.C. metropolitan area mean today. Right now, for example, in Northern Virginia, the availability rate, which is basically everything that's available in the next 12 months, is the highest it's been in over 15 years. And what does that mean? It means tenants have good opportunities. So if they are armed and knowledgeable about their lease and their situation, they don't have to wait to take advantage of that renewal right. As an example, right now, I'm in the process on behalf of a corporate client in Tyson's Corner that had 14,000 feet, needed a little bit more space, and a lease wasn't up for 5 years. Landlords are willing to engage and talk to tenants early. We are now expanding the space. We are doing a 10-year extension. We're reducing their rent. We're securing improvement allowances. And we're also able to secure rent abatement, all by starting early. Because landlords are very desirous of trying to keep tenants or lure tenants to their building, because there's just not an enormous amount of demand and growth.
And I think sort of bringing that framework to the real-world example we talked about before, mm-hmm. is maybe you can talk about a little bit about the situation that we had at Odin Feldman and Pittleman when we engaged you and your team to assist us, because I think all of the elements you just mentioned came into play at the outset of that process.
That's right. We had been working with Odin Feldman and Pittleman over the years, as you all dealt with availabilities of space and things that you needed to do. You all moved into your building in Fairfax in the late 1980s, and at the time that you moved in, your space was state-of-the-art. You had everything that you needed. It was designed to meet your needs. Unfortunately, over a 20-year period, things change. And you had talked about how painful moves can be, yet they also create opportunities. And there were certain things about your space while you had been in occupancy that had changed. For example, and it's not just limited to Odin, Feldman & Pittleman, but a lot of other law firms as well as tenants, you all had designed a really nice library that was very pretty and showcased all of your materials and books. But at the end of the day, the need for that library space had diminished dramatically, yet you were stuck with it. You had certain interior spaces for secretaries, whereas over time the ratios of attorneys to secretaries had changed, and you had unused interior space that wasn't flexible. And I think one of the biggest things for the firm was the fact that your needs for conferencing space, as well as collaborative space where people could come together, seemed to be very deficient. So we knew that we needed to start this process early. Your lease was up in the fall of 2015, and you wisely felt that it was time to start this process early. And we actually convened almost 3 years prior in the fall of 2009.
Yes, and I think, we were, and obviously we're a law firm and we have real estate lawyers. And, so we had an understanding of our situation. But even with that knowledge, it was extremely helpful to bring in professionals like yourself and your entire team at Studley to assist us through the process, because there were just a lot of things that we, frankly, we needed objectivity in the process. And I think, that's an important element that you and your team brought to the table as we were, going through the analysis of how to proceed.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the first things that you did after we met was you formed a committee. And I think that's always an interesting story, particularly for law firms, because of how the process unfolds and how consensus building is a really big part of it, as opposed to a corporate real estate department where one person is making the decision. It might be interesting to share a little bit about how you built your committee and the composition of that.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. Is, there are many different decision-making models. You mentioned, if you have a corporate real estate department, that, the decision-making process may be, I don't want to say dictatorial, but not exactly democratic. In a law firm, particularly our law firm, consensus building is critical. And also, in terms of looking at the space needs of the group and where we wanted to be geographically, we put the committee together. Actually, I put the committee together as really a cross-section across practice group lines and demographically as well. We had younger partners. We had litigators. We had real estate attorneys because ultimately we looked at it not as a real estate decision. We looked at it as a strategic decision. And we felt, and I certainly think our experience was such, that by bringing in a wide range of people, one, it brought a lot of different perspectives to the table, but two, when we had to go through the process of buy-in within the organization, a lot of the questions that people would ask us, we had people on our committee who had a perspective that could answer the question. And that was the model we used. I'm not going to say that that's a model that every organization needs to use, but I think particularly in a law firm or accounting firm, kind of the your personal service type organization, consensus building tends to be a common model to use. And I think getting your committee together early and having a wide range of perspectives is critical to the process.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also helps down the road too, Don, when people will ask questions about how did you get there? And that, that's part of our process that we'll elaborate on.
Good. I think the other item I think, we should just touch on is, we talked about the composition of committee. We talked a little bit about the decision-making process within the organization. And, one of the elements of that is it's important to understand what that decision-making process is at the beginning of the exercise. That was something we struggled with because we hadn't done this for 20 years or more. And, you know, I think that the getting people sort of tuned into the process early in the process, we had regular monthly meetings, almost monthly meetings with our firm's board of directors to keep them up to speed on what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
We met every couple of months with the partners to tune them in and to get input in some of their thoughts, because we're, you know, it was a significant decision for the organization.
Well, you know, once you had your committee together, that's when we came in. And, you know, to your point that, you know, you all only do this every 15 or 20 years, which is all the more reason that people engage firms like Studley and work with people like myself to assist them in that. And one of the first people that we felt externally that needed to be part of the team was an architect. And we re-engaged Scott Genalucci of Strategic Initiatives, who had previously worked with the firm, understood how you all had operated, and also had extensive experience in working with law firms.
And I think the element of bringing the architect in early is key on two notes. One is to evaluate if you do have an option to potentially stay where you are, is to try to come up with a space plan for any kind of modifications that you would want to make to the space, because that's going to be part of the negotiation, as mm-hmm. you said, in terms of, you know, not exercising specifically your renewal option, but using it as a negotiating tool and trying to extract some concessions from the landlord, which is something that's, you know, readily available in the marketplace these days.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondly, when you go out to the market and look at alternative options of other space, is having that architect, you know, looking at that as you go and making sure that the space is going to work for you.
Well, that's exactly what we did. That was one of the first things once the architect was brought on, that we had them go and do an operations review of your facilities and determine how were they working for you. Because that was part and parcel of the next steps that we needed to do, which was to look at what would happen if you were to stay short term, which was 5 years, which is what you had the right to, or if you were to go longer.
I think we're coming up to a time for a short break. This is Power of Attorney Radio, and we'll take a short break and we'll be back shortly.
You're listening to Power of Attorney with the attorneys from Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. Learn more about legal developments affecting individuals and businesses when Power of Attorney returns in a moment. A Legal Minute with Wayne Zell. Did you know that S-Corps have a unique hybrid status capable of producing savings not available to other business entities? Income generated through an S-Corp and reported on a shareholder's return can be classified either as wages or as profit distributions based on a variety of factors. The outcome of that determination matters a lot, because amounts treated as wages are subject to payroll taxes, while profit distributions are not. Depending on the amount involved, the difference in taxes can be substantial. For example, on profits of $250,000, taking the full amount as salary results in combined payroll taxes of roughly $20,000, but taking it as a profit distribution results in zero payroll taxes. If you'd like to know more about the distinctions between S-Corps and other types of entities, give us a call at 703-218-2100. Welcome back to Power of Attorney, an educational program focusing on legal developments affecting businesses and individuals. And now your hosts, the attorneys from Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman.
Welcome back to Power of Attorney. This is Don Goldrosen from Odin, Feldman, and Pittleman. And my guest here is Wendy Feldman Block from Studley. We're going to pick up our discussion on strategic planning for your company's space needs. And when we left off, we were about to go into the process for evaluating your options in terms of staying in your existing space or potentially evaluating options out in the market to move. And Wendy, one of the things that you and your team at Studley assisted us with greatly was, you know, what I would call a needs analysis, which is really a very detailed analysis of our current space, potential, you know, the needs that we had. And that was something that we needed a lot of help on. And maybe you can talk a little bit about the process in general and then bring it home to how you worked with us on that.
Mm-hmm. Well, once you all had formed your committee, we gave you homework assignment, and that was to go back and look at what
your
growth was.
There's a lot of homework assignment.
A lot of homework. A growth assessment. Where have you been? What was your growth rate? What was your attrition rate? And what was your future projections for what you wanted the firm to be, which becomes a very involved strategic planning exercise that was far broader than your committee, that required you to go back and engage with the board and the executive committee to talk about where you all saw the firm going. Because you had alluded to the fact that law firms, you know, typically make it, you know, at least a 10-year commitment on a relocation, but frequently, like yours ended up being, they can be 15 years in downtown in order to amortize the cost of those improvements over a long enough period, can easily be 20 years. That's a long time, and we need to make sure that you're making the right decision and that the space will be able to accommodate you for as long as possible. So once we were armed with the information of understanding what your growth was going to look like, we went back to the architect and we had him look at two different scenarios for your stay put, because we felt it was critical to evaluate staying there concurrently on a parallel track with looking to relocate in the market. And if you were to stay, what would you need to do to the space to make it work for a 5-year period, which is what you had the right to? Or if we were able to get you a 10-year extension or longer, what would you need to do? And as difficult as it is to do a renovation in place, if you've got the right planning and you've got the ability to do some swing space and you've got great counsel in terms of architecture and project management, it's not as horrible as it sounds. And it happens all the time. And it can be the most cost-effective for people. It also enables you to stay in a geography that your folks are used to, which actually, when we concluded the needs assessment of what you currently had, we went ahead and took it to the marketplace. We did an internal look from 30,000 feet of what a snapshot of the market was at that time. Fortunately for the firm, at the end of 2009, when we started this process, the market was extremely tenant favorable. It still is. And you had more options than you knew what to do with. And so we had to educate you.
Yes, I think you came to us with approximately 38 potential sites?
We did. And before we even got to that part, we first wanted to determine where you wanted to look. And that interim step was we looked because we knew you were a Fairfax-based firm, that you wanted to stay within Fairfax County, yet you were open and receptive to considering some geographies that you never would have in the past, such as Herndon and Reston. And we looked over in Fairview Park, and we looked in Tyson's Corner. And this was at a time of a lot of change in our region. The Silver Line construction was underway. The Hot Lane construction was about to start. And there was a lot of opportunities for change.
I think you hit on a really important point, and this is important, particularly for law firms and other service organizations, is your company identity. Odin, Feldman & Pittleman had been a Fairfax, Virginia law firm for 40-some-odd years. Many of our senior people, that was their identity. Many of our younger people were looking to get into a more vibrant market, whether it be Tyson's or Reston. And so you're going to have some generational dynamics there that you have to be very sensitive to early on in the process. And I think that was a lesson we learned somewhat the hard way through our process, but it's something to keep in mind early in the process.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that is something that generational for law firms in particular can be a really big issue because of your partnership structure. And so one of the things that we did before we actually went out and visited the buildings is we did a demographic analysis of your employees. We took the zip codes. We did a hotspot analysis. We looked at commute patterns. We did an overlay to look at such things as the road construction, as I alluded to determine where you all would best fit. And with regards to your business plan, your client base, the amenities that you were seeking. So when we concluded that and we had this report of 38 options, we sat down with you and we walked you through them. We looked at them. We talked about the pros and the cons. We looked at the size of the building, the image, the access to it. We also looked at the size of the floor and guided with the architect, Scott Genalucci. We knew that certain floor configurations were more efficient for your needs than others. I mean, there could easily be a 10 to 15% differential between buildings, which translates into cost at the bottom line.
I think an important point you made, you know, in terms of the hotspot analysis, in terms of commuting patterns, obviously a huge issue in the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. The last thing you want to do is be in a position where you move into this wonderful space and this gorgeous building in the middle of all the action, and then you start losing some of your valued employees because their commute is so miserable. And that's an important factor to take into account in the process.
So that was always in the back of the mind of the committee and of the partners when we started this. And so we whittled that list down from 38 to about 15. We actually went in a bus, if you remember, with box lunches in tow. And we went out and we looked at the properties with a goal of helping to reduce it to a manageable number of approximately 5 buildings, which we then sent them a detailed request for proposal that we developed in conjunction with the architects and your input to determine what were the most important provisions for a law firm. And that's when we went to those buildings.
And I think the important point here to make is you really have to, you're going to start out with a large pool. Well, hopefully you'll start out with a large pool of potential options. Is you really need to whittle that down to a manageable number fairly early on in the process, which is what we did. You know, as I mentioned, we started out with approximately 38. I think we looked at about 10.
Mm-hmm.
From that 10, we whittled it down to 3 to 5 that we got serious about. And then I guess once we did get to a smaller list, then we got into more detail in terms of how the space would work, cost elements. You may want to talk a little bit about budgeting for that. Because that's obviously critical to any company's analysis.
Yes. Once we've issued the request for proposals, an integral part is performing test fits, and that's where the architect's role really comes into play. They've already done a needs analysis of your current usage of space. We call that a program. And then we take that program and you lay it out against the different buildings. And the end result is a very helpful tool where we will be able to compare and contrast each of the buildings, their efficiencies and their deficiencies, and help whittle it down to, you know, the ultimate goal, which is that we're going to execute a letter of intent with one building that will capture all of the terms that will form the basis of a lease and protect you, you know, for this 15-year commitment, which is what exactly we did for the firm.
And that's exactly how our process worked. And I think, you know, we will have a subsequent show that will discuss some of the important provisions of the lease. But, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind, because a lot of these major issues need to be flushed out to the letter of intent stage. Issues like security deposits, extension options, and we didn't really talk too much today, but we'll talk about it on a later show. Personal guarantees and that type of thing, which are hopefully you can avoid, and in this market you generally can avoid. Wendy, thank you very much for joining me today. I think from a standpoint of takeaways from today, hopefully you'll take away from our discussion today two important things. One is it's never too early to start considering and analyzing your space needs and your future plans, particularly in a market like we have today where it is a good buyer's market for a tenant. And then secondly is, you know, be thorough in your process and bring in the best professionals you can early on in the process to help your business through the steps. Wendy, you want to talk a little bit about how folks can get in contact with you?
Absolutely. Studley has a website at www.studley.com. And my email is probably another means, which is wfeldman@studley.com.
Thank you very much, and thank you for joining us this morning, and have a great weekend.
You've been listening to Power of Attorney with Odin Feldman and Pittleman. Power of Attorney will be back next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. right here on 1500 a.m.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT-FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of of Federal Community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. The Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, American University Eagles, Washington Nationals, and the Washington Capitals. Federal News Radio, 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com.